We are now live.
Wonderful. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. This is the STF committee, a committee of LTD's board. It has been almost exactly 2 years since this board is last reconvened, with the intention being that we do the biennial fund allocation for LTD's Formula 5310 and STF funds. So there isn't an action we'll be taking today, and the intention of today's meeting is just to give an overview and a reminder and a refresher for everyone serving on the committee of the work that we're going to be doing over the next 2 months or so. So I'm going to both just kind of go through the process once again for everyone involved, have an opportunity to ask and answer any questions that anyone might have, and then just get us prepared so that when we really dig in January, we'll all be prepared and ready to go. So to start off with, one of the things that may in fact be helpful is to establish if we can have a STF committee president or chair, as they're sometimes known. I don't believe we have a quorum here as of yet, though, so we may need to revisit that in the future. So I just wanted to note that as something that we'll need to do. And because we're not taking any formal actions today, that isn't actually something I think that's going to be necessary for us at this moment. But we will need to make sure that we have that in place for some of our future meetings. So the meeting packet today is only a very small 153 pages. And so I'm actually going to make sure that everyone has everything that they need to know from this meeting today. And so there's a lot of information that members can dig into. And I just want to make sure that you all know that I'm here as a resource. So if you have any questions, if something seems confusing, if there's anything that we can do to help or make this process simpler, I'm your resource. So feel free to let me know at any point. So I also wanted to just acknowledge that last biennium was the first time that we had our SCF process be a direct committee of the board. And so it was a bit of a different way that we've done it than in some past bienniums where we function as a subcommittee of the Accessible Transportation Committee, as it was then known. And this will actually likely be the last biennium in which the process looks in the way that it does now. So the STF funds, which we are familiar with, likely are going to be rolled into the state's STIF process in future biennium. So that's something that we'll be learning more about prior to the start or the beginning of the next biennium's grant fund process. So when we know more, we'll make sure that everyone's well aware, but I just wanted to note that it's going to be especially relevant time for us to be doing this work as part of this biennium, as it's capping off the SCF process as the state currently knows it. And we're getting a couple more folks trickling in, so welcome everyone. So I wanted to mention this committee is going to be working primarily with 5310 and STF funds. And so I'll do just a really brief refresher on what those are. So first, 5310 are federal funds, and STF is the state's special transportation funds, which are state funds. These are both formula funds that LTD receives, meaning that essentially there's a statewide allocation, and based on demographics such as the population of Lane County, LTD is entitled to a share of that due to a formula, so they're called formula funds. So they're not the same as, say, like a competitive grant where different transit districts throughout the state might be competing for the same pot of dollars. These are split proportionally throughout the state of Oregon to provide services. And these funds in particular are intended to benefit older adults and people with disabilities primarily. So first, I think some relatively good news is that we're expecting to be able to allocate up to $1.7 million in 5310 funds for the upcoming biennium, and over $2 million in state special transportation funds for the upcoming biennium. That means that this committee is gonna be making recommendations on $3,779,042 for the upcoming 2 years, which is a substantial amount of work that we'll all be doing together to benefit our community, and in particular, older adults and people with disabilities. So it's very important work that we're all doing here. And so I just wanted to send my appreciation to everyone for being able to do that. The other piece of good news within that is, even with the strange times that we find ourselves in now, I'm getting some feedback, if folks wouldn't mind.
All right, guys, that's me. Give me a minute.
Thank you. So part of the good news of that is, even with the strange times that we find ourselves in, we're finding that the funding that we're receiving for the upcoming biennium is relatively flat compared to what we've seen in the last biennium. So we're not looking at, say, like a substantial cutback or a decrease in funds for the upcoming 2 years. So based on the current environment, I think that only can be perceived as really positive news. So if we were to receive similar applications to do similar kinds of services, it looks like we should be able to keep doing business as we have done in the past. And so that's in itself is really positive news, just considering the situation that we're all finding ourselves in. I want to let everyone know that we're soliciting applications from any of our program providers right now. So I held my first grant solicitation workshop, which is just kind of our open cattle call to anyone who's interested in learning more yesterday, in which I went through our process of different individuals who might be interested in applying and what kind of information we'll need. And that seemed to be pretty straightforward and routine. So we've set a due date for application materials of January 4th. So for anyone who is interested in applying to receive any of these $3.7 million worth of funds, we'll need to hear from them before January 4th. And I've also made myself available as a resource for anyone who's interested in learning more, knowing how to apply, what kinds of information they'll need to have a successful application. I'm similarly going to be the point of contact for that. So if you happen to have connections throughout the community that may be interested in learning more about these kind of funds, please feel free to send them my way. I'd be happy to do so. The two primary documents that I think define the work that this committee does, in addition to our bylaws, of course, are LTD's Project Management Plan and Lane Coordinated Plan. So the project management plan is LTD's guiding document for the use of 5310 funds. And that in turn defers to the lane coordinated plan, which on our website is currently listed if you as part of our packet. And it's also publicly available to anyone who wants to see it from ltd.org under our projects and planning page under our about us. I'm going to ask to get this renamed because it has the pretty fantastic name on our website of the Lane Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan, Lane Coordinated Plan.pdf, which, while that's really easy to say, I think we could probably make that a little bit simpler. So you do have copies available to you, but I wanted to just note the important parts that we're going to be using for the work that we have here today. So the Lane Coordinated Plan has descriptions in detail of pretty much everything that LTD is doing to be able to positively impact transportation options throughout our communities in Lane County. But for the purposes of evaluating these applications that we receive, there's three main points to keep in mind. And these are ranked in orders of priority as part of the Lane Coordinated Plan. And this was last updated last biennium. So if you recall, we did some work on this to make sure that it was up to date. When we went through this last time around. So the first and top priority as part of the coordinated plan is that we maintain sustainable service levels of viable operations to ensure that transportation services and connections remain at a sustainable level for people who depend on public transportation services in Lane County. So to be able to keep doing what we've been doing is our number one priority for use of these funds. Our second priority is to respond to growth within existing services, to allow for measured increases where demand points to an unmet need within the available resources. So that would be if we needed to expand a particular program because of some new need, like let's say a neighborhood population grew, or there was a new development in an area that needed to be met with an existing service, we might consider expansion of that service. Now, I did mention that our funds for this upcoming biennium are essentially flat from what we've seen from prior years. So that could potentially be a challenge, but I did want to note that as the number two priority within the coordinating plan. The third priority is to respond to emerging community needs, to take on opportunities to optimize coordination, develop new partnerships, and to accommodate newly identified transportation needs and gaps. So this would be to start an entirely new program, something that isn't currently happening in the community. And certainly LTD has been looking at new technologies, new ways of serving the public. But I did want to note that this is ranked third in the list of priorities. So first and foremost, we're looking to make sure that we can at least maintain the programs that currently exist. And so I'll be working with all of our current program providers, and I've already made sure that they've had both copies of their application materials from last biennium, as well as the clean copies of our new application materials, so that that can get to us in a timely manner. So with that, I want to talk a little bit about what we'll come to expect in January. So I mentioned the application is going to be due January 4th, so let's talk about what happens next. Now, I don't know if folks recall, but last biennium, we had to be a little bit flexible with our schedule because we wound up having some snow events which got in the way of us being able to meet. So we wound up needing to be able to wait until we could all get in one place at one time. Now, one of the advantages is now we're all utilizing and leveraging technology. So we may actually have a little bit more consistency and flexibility than we could in situations like that than we did in the past. So what I have tentatively put forward, and I appreciate everyone who's responded to our doodle polls and been in good communication with us about scheduling our upcoming meetings. What I've tentatively said is that January 7th is when we would meet next at 11 a.m. to do a materials review. So I would make sure that copies of all the application materials are made available to all the committee members to be able to read through, to be able to essentially score and rank, and I will have tools attached to be able to help you as individual committee members be able to decide, is this an application that I want to be able to approve and have part of this general funding package? And keep in mind, these scoring methods are just purely tools for you to be able to use so that you're able to concisely come back to the group and say either, this is something I either want to fund or not, or be able to scale based on the amount of funds that are available. So we'll come back as a group and to be able to develop consensus. And I just want to make sure you have different ways of being able to help organize this information to have that discussion as part of the group. Ultimately, the group decides together if one program needs to be prioritized over another, or if we need to ask to scale back any programs based on their overall ask. However, if all of the programs fit within the allowable budget, which we're estimating as part of the 5310 and SCF programs, that tends to be a pretty simple and straightforward process. So if we do receive new applications, then we will need to discuss how we're gonna rank or prioritize the applications. So I just wanted to note that as a dynamic. So following that, what we've done in the past is we've always had an opportunity for any of the applicants to present in front of the committee to basically say, here's what we would do both for the community and how we would use the funds that would get allocated as part of the ask. Now, for the majority of these, we've already witnessed presentations from all of these applicants before. And I want to recognize it's been a couple of years, so a refresher is going to be helpful. But for the majority of these programs, I think what we're anticipating is that we will get very similar applications with very similar programs to what we've experienced in the last 2 years. So I'm anticipating we'll probably have a somewhat shortened and condensed version of that. However, I'll make sure that we have full time available for any potentially new applicants that may decide to come forward. So I've got two different dates that I've set tentatively in January for us to be able to go through presentation materials. And so that's typically just a short, brief opportunity for any applicants to come tell us about what they do, because sometimes it's just not always easy to capture that on paper in a way that it is to either describe or to show us what folks are doing with the funds that they're asking us for. And then an opportunity for us to ask any questions. So If that's whether something's unclear or if we need to ask, would you be able to scale your program if we're having that kind of conversation? It's an opportunity for us to do all of that. So the two dates that I've tentatively set aside for us to be able to go through presentation materials are January 12th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. and January 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'll do that one more time. So from January 12th, and I'll make sure that we send out information. And for January 12th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. and January 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now, depending on how quickly those go, we may not need necessarily all of that time, but I want to make sure that we hold that based on the needs of the applicants and the committee. If we receive applications that are similar to what we've received in the past and we're not receiving applications for new programs, this might be a very expedited and straightforward process, but I did want to make sure that we're prepared for whatever might come our way. All right, after that, by the end of January, and I'm anticipating our wrap-up meeting being January 29th, that we would finalize recommendations of this committee. So I would put forward, based on the presentations and the feedback and comments from this committee, an Excel spreadsheet that essentially has a draft list of fund allocations for the applicants and programs that we receive. That then would go before this committee to make adjustments, changes, any suggestions that we would want to go before the board for the final fund allocation. We would then have one additional meeting, which would be labeled as a public hearing, which I have tentatively scheduled on February 1st from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., which would give any applicants an opportunity to come before us or members of the public for that matter, to be able to lodge a public protest period before the final allocation recommendation would go before LTD's board for approval. So we would then have that period between February 1st and the board meeting of February 17th as an opportunity for a protest period for any applicants. Also tentatively held a date on February 8th as a placeholder meeting from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. if any protests are lodged for this committee to be able to reconvene. Now, historically, that's never happened. And so I do want to make sure, though, that this committee can be prepared and that we hold time available if there were to be anyone who, for any reason, wanted to lodge any kind of protest about the allocation that the committee has made before that goes before the board for final approval. While all this is taking place, I'll then go before the LTD board just to keep them up to date during the January 20th board meeting, just to have a description of the status of both this committee's work and what to expect at their upcoming February meeting. And then I'll go before the board at February 17th to present this committee's final recommendations for approval. So that's the overall process as I'm expecting this to move forward. If there are any changes or updates, I'll make sure that this committee is made aware as soon as that's known. But this should be rather straightforward, and we're expecting this to be very similar to what we've experienced in the last biennium. So with that, I wanted to open this up to the group if there are any thoughts, questions, moving forward, kind of what the expectations are of the work as we go into January so we can be prepared. Also, for any folks that weren't able to join us, I'll make sure to follow up and just make sure that there weren't any technology issues or anything else that might otherwise prevent us all from being able to get together so that we can ensure that we have a good process for moving forward. I also did want to note, we do currently have a quorum, so I was going to suggest that perhaps we consider seeing if there would be a volunteer or nomination to serve as a board president or chair in order to conduct business of the committee and otherwise assist in calling the meetings to order and ensuring that the agenda stays followed for a subsequent meeting. So I did want to note that in the past, we've had Pete Barron serve as leadership roles on committees such as this, and has done a particularly great job of helping ensure that work such as this committee moves forward. But maybe if we just want to take a moment to do a brief kind of reintroduction of everyone, since it's been a couple of years since we've all been able to get together like this, we can discuss if there'd be anyone who'd be willing, as part of your introductory statement, to maybe lead us in this work moving forward. So I was just going to call on folks, if you can just keep an eye on your mute buttons, just in the order that I happen to see you. And so, Mr. Norton, I was wondering if you might be able to start us off, just an introduction to the group.
Well, I'm Donald Norton. I'm a member of the board of Lane Transit District. I guess the concern I have, well, maybe we'll go around with other introductions before I express anything else. So I'll leave it there.
Mr. Barron, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself.
Yeah, hi, John, and everybody else. This is me, and I'm here, like everybody else is here. We're not going any place. I am willing to do the leadership role if you want me to, as long as I'm able to technologically. But so far, we're on. And also, just both of those February meetings are on Mondays, and I usually cannot do Mondays. But those may be anyway.
So, understood.
I will get off and I'll be here.
Thank you. Lisa, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself next.
Hi, I'm Lisa Shellman, and I work with Pearl Buck Preschool and Family Supports Programs. And I would prefer not to have a leadership role.
And Ruth, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself next.
Hi, I'm Ruth Linos. I'm Executive Director of Southland Wheels. And I feel like it would be a major conflict of interest if I was in the leadership role. So I'm okay with letting someone else do that.
All right. And then Mark and AJ, I don't know if you wanted to say a few words before we start progressing with our work.
Yeah, John. Thanks. I just want to really thank this committee for convening today. I think John outlined the heavy lift that you have in allocating dollars to important programs. What I think John's done is try to make this as easy as possible for everybody involved, keep it non-complicated. And I do know that technology does pose a challenge and also poses opportunities. So definitely we'll continue to welcome comments by this committee on how we can improve access to information. You know, in person, we are able to give you handouts that sometimes are easier to manage. Sometimes managing the Zoom and then trying to click back and forth may be difficult, but I definitely encourage whoever the chair is to provide us input or encourage members to provide us input so that we can make this information as digestible as possible. And thank you and happy holidays if I don't say that at the end.
Yeah, and I echo what AJ says, but just thanks for your willingness to serve on this. It's important work. And I'm Mark Johnson, the Assistant General Manager at LTD.
Thank you. And then, Cosette, do you have any words before we move on?
So I just will echo what Mark and AJ said about the importance of this work. Also, I just want to really, again, thank you for being here. And I'm just going to say it's really nice to lay eyes on you all. So great to see you. And I really appreciate your continued passion and willingness to serve on this committee because it is such important work. And the fact that you've done this before makes it really easy, although we also do need to recognize it's been 2 years and that can be a long time. And I do want to welcome Don Norton, our board member, and we also have Emily Secord from our board, who will be joining us in future meetings, as well as Hoover and Allen, who are going to be part of this committee. So we have a great committee. I know that you all have done this work before and done a great job. So I'm looking forward to working with you. And again, looking forward to ways to make it easy for you to participate.
Wonderful. I think it speaks a lot, both to LTD and our community, that this is really a community-driven committee that is allocating a substantial amount of funds to partnerships with community organizations to be able to provide transportation services to folks like you and me all throughout Lane County. So that is much appreciated. I did want to say, Mr. Norton, you mentioned you might have some additional comments you wanted to make. Did you want to make those before we explore a board chair or president further?
Well, I suppose it'd be appropriate now. I'm just concerned by the makeup of the of this committee right now is that, well, I really honor Pete's commitment here and a willingness to do this. But the last time this committee met, well, it was at the NextStop Center, and you know, it's a lot more difficult to get people into the meetings and all of that.
It's true.
But it was, there were considerably more citizen participants. Mm. And I wonder if we're going to do some more outreach and try to get some other people involved with this rather than, I mean, we represent a lot of the LTD staff and LTD board members, and we only have, well, Pete, and then Lisa is representing her organization. I'm really glad to see that, but I feel like we need some more citizen participants.
We do have a couple of members who seem to have not been able to join us today, and so I will be following up with them regarding if there were any technology issues or other reasons that may have made it challenging for it to include their participation today. I know that I've done some specific outreach as far as if there are community members that were interested in serving on this committee. So one of those is through the organization LILA, the Lane Independent Living Association, to see if there were interested members in joining us. And what I've done is, as part of our grant workshop soliciting community applications or any interested members of the public, I've made sure that that is recorded and going to be publicly posted on our website. Just encouraging anyone who's interested in participating to be able to do so. And in addition, I'll make sure that all notice of our process and upcoming meetings is widely available for anyone who's interested in being able to be a part of this group's work and otherwise participate. These meetings will all be open to the public, and we would encourage anyone who has any interest in being able to participate in whichever way they felt most comfortable.
John, may I add something?
Of course.
I believe Don is also maybe referencing to the fact that the last time we were at the NextStop Center, he was able to see all the audience and everybody. Mm. Perhaps maybe you can mention who's in the audience so that Don knows that there's more people in his computer. I'm not sure, Don, if you can see there's additional attendees that your screen may not be showing, but perhaps, John, you might in future meetings kind of just note who's in the audience that way. And I think these, because I think that's what Don may be referencing, that he saw a lot more people.
Well, I'm seeing more LTD staff and the attendees.
Okay, that's good.
But, well, there's Alan. Well, Pamela's thoughts, I don't know.
We do have, so just to quickly go through, joining us, we have Ellen Currier from LCOG is joining us in the audience. We also have from LTD, Christina Hsu, Pamela Strutz, Robin Mayle, Thomas Schwetz, and Tiffany Edwards and Wendy Frisbee.
Yes, as I mean, these are all LTD staff people, and That was my concern, is that we just have a little broader reach and get more community members from the broader community.
Absolutely, and I'll make sure that that's a point of our upcoming January meetings to have made some additional outreach efforts for any community participation, which would certainly be welcomed. So with that, I wanted to, I think those are great points, that, and I do appreciate you having brought those up, because I think that is important for the work that this group is doing. I did want to circle back to the idea of having some process leader for this group. And so I wanted to note, I believe I had heard Pete Barron express a willingness to volunteer for a leadership position for this group. And so I wanted to check with individual members of the committee if there were either any other volunteers or nominations, and if not, if there were any objections to appointing Pete Barron as president of this committee.
I'll make a motion that we nominate Pete Barron as our chair or lead for this committee.
I second.
Okay, motion and a second. All in favor by voting aye, please.
Aye.
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 I believe that is unanimous. So thank you once again, Mr. Barron, for your service for this committee. And I will be in touch with you just as far as any other needs we may have for our upcoming January meetings. So I also wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity and opening for any other questions, comments, concerns before we wrap up for the day. Essentially, this was just purely an introductory meeting to refresh ourselves with the materials once again before we get back. Our next meeting would be January 7th at 11 a.m. Lisa, you had a question?
Yes. Did I understand correctly that we will receive the applications on the 4th, and then we are going to be expected to have some knowledge of them by the 7th? Is that correct?
The application due date is January 4th. The meeting uh-huh. January 7th would be an opportunity. I would have those available as soon as is reasonably possible to committee members. The expectation would be that I would then use the meeting time on the 7th to go over our process once again as far as ranking and scoring. I would need members to have those as digested as is possible, hopefully in time for the presentations, the first one being January 12th, and definitely to have them fully read and understood by the time we would put together a recommendation by January 29th. And so my opinion is that it is extremely helpful to have given those a read through prior to the presentations taking place. And then definitely would need to be read before any recommendations are made, which we have tentatively scheduled for January 29th. So due to the tight turnaround time, I fully anticipate that there may be one or two applications that I receive at 11:59 on January 4th. And so whatever the reasonable time frame, I would anticipate very early, say on the 5th, I would try and have those available to committee members to give you as much of a head start as I can. I don't think there's an expectation that you would have those all read by the meeting on the January 7th, but I would certainly use them as examples that I would go through with the group on the 7th, just to say, as you're ranking, here's some things that you might consider or keep in mind, and as reminders, just the guidance that the coordinated plan gives the committee, which is that our top priority is to maintain our existing services. Our second priority is looking to potentially expand some of those services where needed. And our third priority would be to initiate new services as needed. Ruth.
I just wanted to say that my past experience, and in looking at the application again, there is a lot of information that's included in them. It is a lot of reading. And my feeling was, after going through the last round, that the pieces to focus in on are the budget and the budget narrative pieces, because those are the ones that might have changes and then also really speak to the work that we're doing about making decisions. And the presentations very often really support the program narrative pieces in a different way. So I just wanted, if there are other things, John, in terms of you knowing the application better than we do, that you say, here, focus on this section and make sure you really know those, that would be really helpful.
Absolutely. That's such a great point. And that's my intention of the time we'll take on the 7th, is to really go through and say, here's the parts that I think are worth your time. So I've also made some efforts to try and streamline that process as best as I can for this group this time around. So in the last biennium, our applications were approximately 25 pages long. And while many of those pages are just instructions for applicants to be able to fill out those materials, I've trimmed that down by about 5 pages this year to really make sure that what the committee members see are the parts that are really most relevant to the applications themselves. And So I will have access to a lot of background information, and during the presentations, we can ask any questions that are needed of any of the potential applicants, but I don't want to overwhelm the group with kind of too much information as we're making these recommendations. So I'm trying to hit that sweet spot of what's going to be the most effective uses of your time, and not to waste anyone's time with unnecessary information. So as I mentioned, this is also the last time that we'll probably be having this process exactly like this. So hopefully we can have this as polished as we want. But if we have suggestions for how it might be even further improved, we can certainly take those into considerations, but they'll need to be folded in with what will likely be a stiff process 2 years from now. But I've definitely taken feedback, and I know we've discussed and debriefed from the last biennium how we might make some improvements this time around. And I've done my best to incorporate those so that we'll have as smooth a process for this biennium as possible. Thank you. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was hoping that for that January 7th meeting, we'll also have a table of all the projects and their budget amounts, so that we're already working with the dollars, and it lets us see in one snapshot what we're working with, especially since I thought part of the process that you described is we need to give feedback to those applicants before their presentations of possible adjusting, or are we waiting till after their presentations to communicate, hey, we'd love to rank you better if you could demonstrate more alignment with some of the goals?
Part of the work of this committee will depend a bit on what we see in the applications themselves. So because we have a relatively flat amount of funding from the prior biennium, if we happen to receive applications that are similar to what we've received in prior bienniums, this could be a very quick and streamlined committee process to maintain services. If we have requests for either new or expansion services, or additional funds needed to provide the same level of services, then there could be some tougher decisions that this group would need to do as far as how those get prioritized. So those don't necessarily need to be communicated to applicants in advance of the presentations. But one of the questions that, say, we've done in prior bienniums where we have had to look at making some of those decisions is, we might ask something like, how scalable is your program? As part of the presentation process. And this would give applicants an opportunity to say, this is all or nothing. We either need, you know, we want to buy a vehicle, so we either need all the money or we can't make it work. We don't have additional funds. Or someone might say, oh, well, if we get 90% of the funds, we can provide 90% of the service. And those are questions that an applicant would need to be able to be prepared to answer. So if folks know in advance that those are things that they might be interested in, I'm sure our applicants would appreciate a heads up prior to their presentations, but oftentimes I think it's information that they would know or be able to respond to. And there's certainly no reason that they can't follow up with us even after the after the presentation date. And that's often very common where an applicant would come back to us and say, hey, I need to look that up and I'll send you the response within a week, which would be prior to when a final decision would be made by this committee. So those are all really great questions and things that this group will just need to consider. But a big piece of that will be what are we going to see on these applications by January 4th? And that'll really define, I think, what direction the work of this group would be moving forward.
Well, and mainly by your description of the presentation of our response, it also feeds into what Lisa was bringing up of if we can guide the applicants for what we really want to hear in those presentations in order to answer the questions of how is this relevant and how those different decision-making points need to be weighed in light of everything else. So sounds good.
Absolutely. Good. Great thoughts and questions. Was there anything else that's helpful or on anyone's mind while we're all here? Keep in mind, this isn't the only opportunity. If a week from now you have a question that pops in your head, I'm as available as I can make myself, either phone, email, whatever method that Zoom communication works best. I'll do my best to make sure that you're well prepared and have everything you need. Just know that I'm here to support you. And so my job is the successful work product of this committee, and I'm committed to making sure that you have everything you need to make that happen.
Could you send all of us the full STF grant information just so that we have that as a reference in our lovely files?
Absolutely. I believe it is currently posted as part of the meeting packet for this meeting on the LTD events calendar.
I didn't receive the packet.
I would be happy to email you a copy. So I will make sure that it's separately emailed out. On the ltd.org events calendar, we typically have a electronic copy available to any members of the public. So not just members of this committee, but anyone wishing to view anything. So there's a substantial amount of background information in there. As long as it's within the size that I'm allowed to email out without it bouncing back, you will get a copy from me. So I will make sure that members are individually emailed that.
So I did get a link to this meeting, and that's all I had. So did I miss knowing that there was a packet available on the LTD website for this meeting?
Apologies for that.
Yes. There was actually an email last week, I believe, or earlier this week, send out with the link to the packet online, and I'm happy to resend that out.
Okay, I may have missed it, so that's a possibility.
That is almost entirely likely due to my error, so I'll make sure that gets rectified, that everyone has copies of all the materials. So that's easy for us to provide. There is plenty of reading and documentation materials to go through. However, I will say that I think for some of the key concepts, I did try and make sure to touch on every point that I think is going to be critical to the work of this committee. So I think even if not every member is able to get through all of that, rest assured that I think I've given you everything that you need at this point in time, and I'll make sure that you continue to get all the information verbalized throughout this committee that you're going to need to be able to finish our work by the end of January. So no fears for anyone serving on this committee. I'll make sure that the committee members stay on track, and then Pete's going to keep me out of trouble as our process president. So I have no doubt that we'll bring our work to a successful conclusion by the time that we complete LTD's application to the state, which will be met March 1st.
Great.
Everyone's had really great thoughts and questions so far. Any others before we wrap up for the day?
So just because I've been on other LTD committees, is all of our communications, are they to be directed to you, John, and then you disseminate it to everyone on the board, on the committee, so that there's not separate conversations that members aren't aware of?
Yes, absolutely. That's a really great point. We want to make sure that we're maintaining our public meeting requirements, quorum requirements, and so If we're if the committee is substantively deliberating towards a decision, that should be done within the public eye, typically during one of these meetings. But if you have questions, thoughts, or concerns, you can always come to me and I'll make sure that it gets brought up in the appropriate forum or place.
Okay. Great.
Yep. All right. Was there anything else?
We're good.
All right. Well, then with that, I was going to ask if, Pete, you might consider bringing our meeting to a close, and I'll be making much more use of you throughout January, as well as the committee, just to lead our work moving forward. So thank you again to everyone. It is much appreciated for your service.
Thank you, everyone. Take a motion to end the meeting.
I'll make a motion to end the meeting.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I guess our meeting is adjourned, and we'll see each other virtually on January 7th.
Wonderful. Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful holiday season, and we'll speak again in January. Thank you so much.
Great. Bye.